We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
But it's nice to welcome back Lara Brown, our friend, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. Morning, Lara.
Good morning, Tommy.
A couple of things going on, huh, in Washington these days?
Oh. You know, it's so hard to keep up. I mean, every minute it seems there's a new headline, and it is a lot, for sure.
Where do you want to start? You want to start with Lindsey Graham and the president?
Sure. You know, since he's from South Carolina and he's usually one of the most ardent defenders of the president, it is interesting to see how Senator Graham has pushed back on the president's decision to withdraw our troops from Syria. And you can see that the president obviously has been reacting to that as well, telling Senator Graham to essentially, you know, watch out because his state really wants to do what the president's doing.
But there is so much fear in Washington of in any way, if you're Republican, contradicting the president or saying you don't totally agree with him because they're afraid, you know, the gods of politics are going to rain down on them and there's no way they're going to be reelected. They're going to get put on the president's bad list. Why does Lindsey Graham manage or seem to avoid that? He doesn't seem to become completely ostracized.
Well, I think that, you know, Lindsey Graham has been sort of playing this card of wanting to be the most important senator going back and forth between the White House and Congress. And other than Mitch McConnell, I mean, Lindsey Graham has really decided that he's going to ardently defend Donald Trump as often as possible. And then that, I think he believes, gives him the latitude to rebuke him, at least on policy issues, particularly foreign policy issues that he disagrees with the president on. I'm not sure that is fully working at the moment. I mean, I think you can see that the president does and did come out against Senator Graham yesterday. And there is the fear that you talk about is really about the fact that the president has something like 65 million Twitter followers. And what the senators and the representatives, those Republicans in Washington, are afraid of is that the president is going to rally his base on Twitter against them when they, you know, make a statement where they say, look, we don't agree with what's going on. I mean, the Kurds are in harm's way and the president is defending, you know, Russia taking over cities in Syria and working with Assad. And there are Republicans who are saying this really should not be countenanced.
When it comes to this president's decision there, and we saw the letter that he released yesterday, which was, I guess, written in a common man style, maybe that'd be the way to put it. Right? I mean,
Well, it's written in a Trumpian style.
Trumpian
for sure.
Style, let's put it that way. And as it relates to Syria, the Kurds, I think at some point the president referred to the Kurds as communists, and I don't think that's true, is it?
No.
Yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of misinformation that the president is saying. I mean, the idea that he's also saying that the Kurds are, you know, terrorists aligned, you know, sort of akin or equivalent to ISIS. That's certainly not true when he talked about them being no angels. I mean, we see the president lashing out in a tremendous number of ways. And in this meeting where he was there with the Italian president, it was just quite a scene yesterday.
At what point, and we got to take a break here, we can answer when we come back. You can answer. At what point does it cease to be theater and become serious, or does it ever get that way? Mitch McConnell yesterday telling the senators that you can be prepared for an impeachment trial around Thanksgiving. I would presume there's some back-channel negotiations going on between the Senate and the House, between the Democrats and the Republicans. They have a break in there, and one of the senators, I think a Republican, said nothing will get people to move in Congress like the threat of losing a recess or time off. We'll pick it up here. We come back, 620. Traffic now, WWL. 624, Tommy Tucker, WWL, talking to our friend Lara Brown, director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University. So, Lara, we're talking about the majority leader in the Senate, Mitch McConnell, yesterday telling, and they had a little briefing session, as I understand, with a PowerPoint presentation to explain to the members how an impeachment works, how a trial would proceed, etc. Lindsey Graham, I think, was one of the leaders of this when Bill Clinton was impeached, so he kind of spoke. And I'm just wondering, is this a fait accompli, a done deal where we know the president is going to be impeached, and that's through back channels where I would guess the Senate and the House leaders talk to each other and the Republicans talk to the Democrats?
Well, I think what we do know is that essentially, the call summary that was released from the White House about the president's call with the Ukrainian president, where he was soliciting campaign assistance, both assistance to find Hillary Clinton's server and also to dig up dirt on Hunter Biden, was enough. Democrats believe that that is certainly sufficient evidence that the president committed wrongdoing and abused his oath of office by engaging in this solicitation attempt of a foreign leader. And what they know is that that call summary aligns with the whistleblower's complaint about how activities have gone on in the State Department and the use of Rudy Giuliani for these kinds of political activities overseas. And what they are now doing is gathering a lot of evidence, and with this testimony from career State Department officials. And through this process, I think most in Washington know that impeachment is coming, that impeachment is essentially an indictment. It is the House saying, yes, we believe that there has been wrongdoing, and they list out the articles of impeachment. At that point, once the House does that, it does go over to the Senate, and the Senate holds a trial, and the trial is essentially a trial to convict or to essentially keep the president there, not remove him from office, and reject those articles. The trial is a little different than a normal Senate procedure because the Chief Justice of the United States, John Roberts, will preside over this trial. And so while Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell has authority to kind of put together the outlines of what the process will look like, some of the, if you will, rules of evidence will be determined by the Chief Justice. So it's going to be up to the Chief Justice to kind of dismiss articles or not. That will not just be something Senator Mitch McConnell can do. And that could make the trial last longer than, say, the Republicans would want. We just don't know yet. You know, we haven't had many impeachment trials in our history.
So in terms of partisanship, two questions. If the Republicans had the majority in Congress, would we even be talking about any of this? And secondly, when it comes to a trial in the Senate, will it kind of be like a State of the Union where when whatever president makes a point that the Republicans like, they clap and stand and the Democrats sit down and the opposite happens as well? Is that pretty much where we are? Let's start first with the Republicans. We had in the House. We got a Republican majority in the House. Are we talking about this or not?
No. Okay. But, I mean, I would say this. If we had had, say, Hillary Clinton had been elected president, I'm not so sure if we had had a Republican House majority, we wouldn't have seen ongoing investigations of the Clintons, and we wouldn't actually be in the same place just with the shoes on the different feet.
And in terms of, and that I fully get, but in terms of the Senate trial And you know how it works with the State of the Union. Republicans clap in unison. Democrats clap in unison. Rarely will you see anybody, I guess, break ranks with that. Do you think the same thing would happen in the Senate with
an
impeachment?
I think we're at a place right now where most people in Washington realize how very serious the issues are right now. And I do think that there is a lot of uncertainty among Republicans about what is the bottom of this investigation, how bad are essentially the allegations and the potential crimes. I think it's also true that when you look, at the House vote yesterday, that was a serious rebuke of the president on Syrian, the withdrawal of the troops from Syria policy. I mean, that was 54-60. So many Republicans crossed the aisle to rebuke the president yesterday in that House vote. And while that was a policy issue, I do think that most people in Washington are treading very cautiously about whether or not they are defending the president or not at a vocal level, because what has gone on is very serious, and there are many people who are very concerned about the president's actual behavior with regard to how he is sort of engaging with both allies and opponents around the world with respect to his own political self-interest and personal business activities.
Lara, I deeply appreciate your time and you for everything you help us with. So I hope you have a great day.
Thank you. You too. Have a good day.
You too. Lara Brown, Director of the Graduate School of Political Management at George Washington University.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.